We are continuing, probably in our last 2 weeks of the Liberty Film Festival, where we've looked at timeless truths that are being presented again through movies. But God has already had something to say on all of these things in His Word. And some of the movies we've seen, some of the movies we haven't seen, some of the movies we like the title of them, and we've used the title. Some of the movies, in fact, the disclaimer is we don't know anything about all these movies, so if you want to go see them, they're on your own volition. This week we're on demons and angels, and as we were together as a team a good few weeks ago now, just creating what we want to happen in these 8 weeks. This was a blockbuster out this summer, and I says, "Look, let's go for angels and demons because it's a blockbuster. It's out there, and you know what? There's not a whole lot said about angels and demons." You know, when you're preaching, it's not the thing that you preach about on a Sunday morning. And sometimes there's an ignorance around this whole area. And as I started to study this week for it, I realized that it's an incredible, in-depth subject that I couldn't... It would take weeks and weeks and weeks to really lay it out before you in a proper manner that's probably worth you doing a study on. If you go back to your Bible and look everywhere it says demons or angels, you will be able to go through your scriptures. Or if you have your own computer, you can just plug it in and it'll throw up every single scripture where it is. And you can have a glimpse into another world. You can have a glimpse into a spiritual realm that we don't know anything about. In the movie, the plot was quite interesting, intriguing. There's a lot of skullduggery, kidnapping, bomb threats on the Vatican, and they call in the guy and another case solved. It's just like a normal day in church life. But this morning, I would like for us to explore, for the next 30 minutes at least, the whole subject of demons and angels. It's a huge subject, and I've no intentions to go through everything, but my intention this morning is to give us a synopsis on what the scriptures say about them, because there's lots and lots of scriptures. The one thing about this whole area of the spiritual realm, the scripture gives us a lot of details. And when the scripture gives us details and leaves out details, this is what you need to understand. We don't know everything about what happens in the spiritual realm. But God has given us enough in the Bible to let us know what we need to know about the spiritual realm. Yeah? You with me? So we don't know everything. We don't know all of the reasons. But God has let us know enough what we need to know about this realm. Most people get their beliefs, incredible, even Christians, get their belief from the wrong sources. Some get it from fictional books, television programs, or Hollywood movies. Don't get your information about angels, the devil, demons from the wrong sources. If you think about it and just go through your magazine in the newspaper today that has the television part, yeah? Go through and look through a whole week of television. You know what? The world is obsessed with demons and angels and the supernatural. Absolutely every night of the week, there's something on about the paranormal. Absolutely every. So we don't need to be afraid of it. We don't need to not be afraid to discuss it, because everyone out there, your friends, your family, at the drop of a hat, someone will go and speak to a psychic. At the drop of anything. They're out there looking for sense of the spiritual realm. Looking, getting all the information in all the wrong places. Do you remember the TV shows? Highway to Heaven. Touched by an Angel. What else? Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Do you remember her? All about the supernatural. X-Files. Angel. Dark Angel. All the dealings with demons and angels and supernatural things. But none of them are biblically correct. None of them have their base in accuracy of the scriptures. If you notice on the screens in our movies or in Hollywood, the angels are always presented these fluffy, nice white beings on clouds. Or else little babies with wings playing harps. And then the same world, the same movie, the same system, the same Hollywood will portray evil And dark angels and demons as something hugely superior and real strong and have all the power. And the angels are playing harps. Give me a break. Or else you go through from the 70s right through and you get all Hollywood producing the movies. And you get like all of the Amityville horrors, the Exorcist, the, you know, all of the things. End of Days. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger couldn't kill him. And you get the devil being portrayed as this huge, incredible being that no one can tackle. And the man of God, skinny, wimpy with glasses, running around, afraid of his life. What are they trying to portray? Who's bigger? Who's better? And you ask yourself, who's influencing the world? Who's influencing Hollywood? Isn't it true? They present things of God in a sort of boring way. And yet when it goes to the paranormal, it's always interesting and intriguing. And it taps into people's curiosity. I only went to see the psychic out of curiosity. I wanted to hear what my mother had to say about going to see that one that was being influenced by a spirit. And here's the way to draw the lines. There is a spiritual realm, and we'll look at it in a minute. And there's two power bases in the spirit world. This is the way the Bible describes it. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There's no in between. There's no other realm. It's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. It's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light, everything that the Holy Spirit does, if it's anything other than the Holy Spirit, it's the wrong spirit. But everything the Holy Spirit does, it brings glory to Jesus. Everything He opens up, everything He reveals, it brings glory to Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Everything that the kingdom of darkness promotes is an alluring away from Jesus, away from God. Because in all the paranormal and supernatural programs that are on the television, they don't mention Jesus. They don't bring anyone to meet God. In fact, it's all around other things that God has not even mentioned in them. So wherever, here's a way to look at it. I went around to a friend's house one time, at Halloween. It was like walking into Dracula's gaff home for those who's visiting. It was like going in. It was like I walked through cobwebs to get into the kitchen. I sat down and I said, this is weird. He said, what do you mean? I said, there's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. You tell me what this represents. She took every one of them down and binned them. It's the way of judging stuff. Is it bringing glory to God? Or is it bringing me away from God? Is it saying that the focus should be on him, her, them? Or should the focus be on Jesus? We sang a song last week, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. If you hear me saying that indifferent, drag me out and beat me up. If I say, turn your eyes on me, Peter can drag me out. If I say, look at me, I'm the superstar, someone drag me out. It's turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because that's who it's all about. You still with me? Don't look to the wrong sources for your information. Because we have been given the authoritative word on all of this activity. It's in the Bible. God has already told you. He created the heavens and the earth. Everything that is created, Colossians says, He created. So if you want to know anything about the creation, you go to the manual of the Creator. There's some books that have been written, and the closer they stick to the Bible, they have a bit of authority. But there's been books written about demons and angels, and they're laughable when you compare them to this word. At best, it's someone's imagination that's rampant. At worst, they're being deceived. Sounds very serious now in here. But I don't want us to be ignorant. I don't want us to be, all the world knows about this stuff, but they've no authority because they're getting it from the wrong sources. Read your word. Find out what God says about them. Do not be ignorant. Ignorance is an amazing thing, because if you're ignorant of what God says of who you are, who he is, who devils, demons are, and who angels are, you won't know what's happening. You will believe Hollywood. You will believe the experiences of people on the television over God's word. If you're ignorant and the enemy starts barking at you or growling at you, you will run away terrified instead of knowing who you are in Christ. Instead of resisting, you'll run. I don't want this to be ignorance. So if I spend a little bit of time in this, it's because I don't want you to be ignorant. Because knowledge is an amazing thing. One time I was robbing an orchard when I was a kid. Me and a couple of brothers. And a couple of brothers, about 28 of us that used to go and rob orchards. We always wondered how we got caught. Well, if you've seen 28 yovelids in your garden and up your trees, that's how we always got caught. But we were actually robbing an orchard in the church, in the local church, a great orchard in it. And so we went in, and next minute, sketch. That means, look out. So, like, we all started legging it. I hear a dog. I'm like, I'm going to be eaten. You know, as a yovelid, you're running. And like, you're just going, just give up. Just take the beating. Just take the hiding. Whatever. And I'm like, and I end up on my knees. Please don't let him bite me. When the dog got up beside me, he was only a little Jack Russell. In my mind, I had a Doberman running to get me. I'm like, oh, please, please. I look around, priest, Father Radigan had me by the ear, dragging me back. Same can be. The enemy can roar and say all this. And he is someone to be respected. But when you don't know who you are in Christ, you're running and running, and there's a Jack Russell behind you. Instead of looking around and go, get up. Instead of looking around and saying, I'm not afraid of that little thing. When you're ignorant, it's like, ah. And that's the reason why we'll spend a bit of time in this. If you want to turn in your Bible, we're going to look into, well, let me tell you, C.S. Lewis, tremendous author. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. He wrote some books called the Screwtape Letters. There's a whole relation between a nephew demon to the big demon. But he says this: there are two equal and opposite errors in relation to thinking about angels and demons. Disbelieving in their existence altogether is one error, and taking excessive and unhealthy interest in them is equally unhealthy. Skepticism and fanaticism both serve the same purpose. The devil doesn't care if you don't believe. He says, look, I'm all skeptic about it. He doesn't care about that. Because then you're open to anything. And equally, if every time you pick up a rock and you find a demon there, that's equally as unhealthy. So we want the balance, yeah? The spiritual realm. We've been given eyes to see in the physical realm, where we all live. But our eyes need to be open to the spiritual realm at times. Because the spiritual realm spills over into this realm. In 2 Kings in chapter 6, if you want to go there, and there's a story where the city was being attacked. And there was lots and lots of angels all around, or there was lots and lots of the enemy all around them. They were going to be attacked, they were going to be taken into captivity, their city was going to be gone. There was a tremendous army before them. And naturally, they all got very immobilized, they got very fearful, we are going to be overtaken. And it says in verse 8, it says, they were wondering, what are we going to do? And in chapter 6 of 2 Kings, verse 8, now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. And after conferring with his officers, they said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Armenians are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out in the early morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Elisha said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You can imagine the servant looking out, full of chariots and great warriors. And Elisha says, don't be afraid, because there's more with us than there is with them. Now, if you look in the natural, just with the natural eyes, you'd be looking, Elisha, there's no one else. Do not be afraid, he says. And Elisha prayed. He says, oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So he looked with his natural eyes and seen we're done for. The prophet prayed, Lord, open his eyes, let him see who's with us. And there around the whole army was angels with chariots, with fire all around them. I think this is amazing that there's somehow spiritual horses and chariots. That when you look into the spiritual realm, that there's all this stuff going on that absolutely seems incredible and amazing. When Elijah, the prophet before Elisha, was getting taken to heaven, it says the chariots of heaven came and swooped them up with the horses right to heaven. Who rides these horses? Who runs with these chariots? Angels. There's a whole realm that we need to know about, called the spiritual realm. And I pray when we need it, that God will open our eyes. That when we're in fear, the Lord shows you who's on your side. And when you think that everything is stacked up against you, my prayer for you is that God will open your eyes and say, oh my goodness, there's more with me than there is with them. There's more on my side than there is with them. But when we go Hollywood style, we think that the enemy is bigger. The enemy is stronger. That there's more on the enemy side. That everyone's against us. Everyone is going the wrong way. And God said, open your eyes. The Lord opens our eyes and we go, oh my goodness. There's more that stands on my side than there is on theirs. So what about demons and angels? There is a spiritual realm. And we've seen that eyes need to be open. But also that heaven and the spiritual realm spills over into earth. Meaning that earth, heaven, angels, chariots visit earth. Have you ever been visited? Have you ever had an encounter with the divine? Have you got a story when angels, only angels, could have prevented something in your life? Have you got a story where supernatural intervention happened and you're scratching your head? You go, only God could have sent an angel. So what about demons? Firstly, what I want to point out about demons is this. That Jesus created everything. Listen to what it says in Colossians. For by him, Jesus, all things were created, both in heaven and on earth. Visible, what we see, and invisible, what we need our eyes open to see. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So what happened? How did we get demons? How did we get angels? God created them. They weren't always there like God was always there. They weren't self-existent like God is self-existent. They were created by God. And it says in the scriptures, in Isaiah, talking about Satan. Satan had another name. His name was Lucifer. Lucifer was an archangel, the Bible describes him. He was radiant and beautiful. It says, or it's been alluded to in the scriptures, that he was like the worship leader of heaven. It says that when he moved, his being would make music. Incredible. incredible, beautiful being. He was called the morning star. What happens? In Isaiah, the prophet was shown what was happening. And here's what he said, "Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of dawn. You've been cast down. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart," and this is what happened. Lucifer says, "I want to be God. I want to be like God." And he said, "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above God's throne. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High." All the oils that are in there. "I will ascend. I will be like God." And nothing has changed in the eyes of the devil. He wanted to be a God. He wanted to be powerful. And there was a big struggle in heaven, Revelation says. And the archangels, Michael, and all of the angels came. And they threw Satan, Lucifer, out of heaven. And it says a third of the angels went with him. And as you see, even in scriptures, that when sin entered the world, depravity, distortion happened rapidly. And as soon as pride was found in Satan's heart, he was thrown out, and all his angels that went with him in the rebellion. They lost their place in heaven. Demons are opposed to God's plans and purposes. They're opposed to the beauty of God and people. They're opposed to the innocence that is seen in children and people all over the world. That's why there's so much stuff goes on in the world regarding children. Because somehow the innocence of a kid reminds the devil of the innocence of God and the innocence of Christ. Mar the innocence. Kill the innocence. So they're opposed. They love to strike fear into people. They love to strike influence evil in nations. They love to lure people, as Timothy says. Paul says to Timothy, in the last days, people will be allured away, seduced away from God, seduced away from the scriptures. He says that there'll be men going around preaching doctrines of demons. In the last days, God is here, God is there, and all the time moving people away from scripture and moving people away from God. It doesn't matter if it's a child with eight hands, born in India. Oh, there's a God. Or a preacher standing at the pulpit saying, "This is the way, give me your money and you get to heaven." Yeah. Or there's another way to God, or there's loads of ways to God. All the time luring people away from truths. All the time seducing people according to what we need for the now. And forsaking what we need for eternity. In the last days, to be people taken away. Bringing fear. The Bible says this, that you have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of right thinking. Spirit of love and power and of right thinking. The Bible says that when you become a Christian, Christ comes to live in us. See, it's not just we give Him our lives. He gives us His life. That the life of Christ, I pray that it's manifest in us today. That whenever you feel down or in the dumps or there's something going on, that the very life of Jesus Himself would manifest Himself in you, and freedom and deliverance and healing would flow out of you. Not fear. They're sent to harass. They're sent to strike fear into the hearts of people. Let me move fast through there. I'll give you a true and false type of little deal that I have here. And if you want to ask me any questions on it at the end, you can see Peter. Here's a true or false thing, right? True or false, Satan and his demons used to be holy angels. True. Satan was cast down True or false? True. Satan can possess Christians. Not so sure, are you? False. There's nowhere in the scriptures, no evidence whatsoever. Don't tell me that's me ringing, is it? Oh. No evidence whatsoever of a Christian being possessed by a demon. None whatsoever. Can a demon harass, oppress somebody? Yes. But we're given the tools to deal with a demon that would do that. True or false? There are female and male angels. False. True or false? Satan and demons are free to tempt whoever they want, whenever they want. False. You notice anywhere in scriptures, every time the devil was allowed to tempt someone, he was given permission. True or false? Satan sometimes causes believers to sin. False. He can tempt us to sin, but he can't cause us to sin. That's still choice. I decide whether I sin or not. I'm responsible. I remember someone says to me, it's not me, it's the devil. No, it's you. You may have been tempted, and you may have been called the little devil. True or false, angels have wings. False. But there is places in scriptures where the cherubim and the seraphim goes around God's throne and they have six wings. But they're called heavenly creatures, not angels. True or false? People have a guardian angel. Any false? I'll go into that in a minute. True or false? Christians will rule over angels in the future. True. Finishing. Angels are actively working in and around the lives of every believer. True. So what about angels? Some are led to believe that angels are babies with wings on clouds, or grannies who have died, or mothers who have died and have watched over them. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, it's scary to think that angels know everything and watch everything over us. And I wouldn't want them to be my granny. Truly. I thought about this last night, and you know what? I shuddered. I tell you, I shuddered. I shuddered to think that angels seen me sin. I shuddered to think that angels seen me sin. Holy angels of God, let alone God. Angels are created beings. They're never to be worshipped. They are servants of the Most High. The Bible says in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, you his angels. Angels are worshippers. They've never to be worshipped. There's a fascination in the world with angels. But you know, every time it's talked about angels, Jesus is taken out of the picture. Alluring people away. Seducing people away from Christ. It sounds lovely, fluffy. Probably damn you to hell. Angels are not to be worshipped. It says in Colossians 2:18, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. Paul is warning the church, warning us, don't get caught up with the mumbo-jumbo fluffy stuff. With people's idle notions, even with people's experiences. But I felt it. I seen it. So what? Still doesn't make it truth. Still doesn't make it right. Paul says, don't get caught up with that stuff, because it's an alluring away from the truth. Angels are not to be worshipped. Angels turn up looking like humans, actually. Hebrews says, some have entertained angels and didn't even know it. Some, you imagine that person that you probably says, no, go eat me. Could have been an angel. You get to heaven, the angel's there. In Abraham's day, in Genesis, three angels appeared. One was the angel of the Lord. And he says, we have visitors, honey. He didn't know they were angels. Make your best cake, because we have visitors. And when he realized they were angels, he bowed down. The only place an angel allowed anyone to bow down when it was the Lord, a pre-incarnation visitation of Jesus. All the other times the angel says, get up, angels are never to be worshipped. Chapter 18 of Genesis, it was Abraham. Chapter 19, the two angels went into Sodom and Gomorrah, remember? And Lot didn't know who they were. They torn up in human form. They torn up and visit people. What else does angel? Many angels, is there? I'll give you all the information from the scriptures. Hebrews says about the city of God that there was myriads and myriads, tens and tens and tens of thousands. Revelation talks about thousands upon thousands upon thousands attending Jesus, worshiping Him. In Revelation, it says they're all around the throne. In Isaiah 6, it says that they're all around the throne worshiping. If a third went out with Satan, there's two thirds that never went. So there's twice as many on your side than there is on the other side. What about guardian angels? There's a scripture that says this, that the eyes of babes see the faces of angels. So there's not a huge amount of scriptures on whether we all have a guardian angel or not. But we all have the protection of angels. In fact, in Psalm 91, he says that he has commanded his angels concerning you. So there's room for scripture to say that. There's just not a whole lot. A couple of weeks ago, someone says to me from the church, he says, no, when you were preaching, God must have opened my eyes because there was two angels behind you. Amen. Don't get smart with me. There's angels for you and with you. He commands them. I'm not to command them, but He commands them. Concerning you, why? So you do not bash your legs off a rock. You do not strike. I could give you loads of experience. There was a missionary in Ireland somewhere. And they were, him and his wife was in a little hut. And all the natives came, and because they didn't know who they were. And they came and they were going to kill them, and they were cannibals. And when the chief got there with all the men, they all came with their torches ready to ransack the place and kill everybody. And they looked out the window and they started praying, the missionary and his wife, and they all went away. And they all went away. Sooner or later, soon after that, the missionary started making inroads into these tribes. And he was with the chief one day, and he says, "Whatever happened that evening when you didn't attack us?" The chief said, "There was too many on your side." He says, "There was tall men that were gleaming with swords standing all around your house." There's been many times where people have seen angels and have had divine visitation. The early fathers of the church always believed that you had a guardian angel. Scriptures gives us room to believe that. I remember the time in the flats, Sharon and John Holland. I tell you, John's not here. I was standing with my back to John and Sharon, and a fella ran from the top of the flats all the way down with his hand in his jacket like that. And when he got to me, he took out a knife ready to stab me. And they said no, and I looked around, and next minute your man got swerved off that way, like supernatural. It was like he was going to stick it, and it was like somebody came and just moved him away from me. They were standing with awe. I wasn't standing with awe because I didn't see it hardly. They were saying, Noel, he was going to stab you in the back. There's angels. A couple of weeks ago in church, in intercession, that's what we always say, intercession is amazing. Sometimes intercession is hard work. Sometimes intercession is you just get in and you pray and you don't feel and or see and. But not lately. Paul had a word, the angels have come into the room. And I don't know about you, but I can be as skeptic as anyone else. And all of a sudden my mind went into my Bible in my mind. I went through all the angel scriptures. Yeah, amen. Angels come to minister. And Sharon started praying for her neighbor who's been absolutely robbed with panic attacks, with fear that she's going to die, even though there's nothing wrong with her that could kill her. Nearly strapped to her sofa with fear. And Sharon is there praying that night for her neighbor. And as Sharon was praying, Paul said at the end of the meeting that he's seen two angels running out the door on the way up the Ballyar. Sounds crazy, but this is what happened. He said he's seen the angels. You were waiting as we are praying to bring God's answer. We goes home. Was it the next day? The next day she knocks at the door. A different girl. She was spry and lively. Sharon says, what happened to you? Sharon, I don't know what happened. She says, well, last night I was sitting on the sofa, as I've always been, depressed and fear of death, and happiness came over me. Sharon was praying for peace for her. And her words of describing peace was, happiness came over me. In a couple of days she was doing well, and when she started slipping back into it, but seeing these days she's gaining strength. You can see her walking and talking. Sharon says, no, she's talking like her own self. Why? Because angels came. And I'll show you in a minute where angels come and give strength to people. What are angels? They're protectors. They're ministering angels. They bring God's strength. When Elijah was fearful and when Elijah was down on all of his strength, it says an angel came and made him filled. So angels are good chefs. He needed strength to move on, and an angel came. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the desert? 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. Show you how clever the enemy is. 40 nights and 40 days of fasting. And the enemy says, turn the stone into bread. He was meeting him at his point of need. He was meeting him where he could allure him away. I don't know whether you ever seen the greatest story ever told, one of the movies of Jesus. And that scene, Jesus is climbing up a mountain, 40 days and 40 nights, starving, fasting. And up on the top, the person that depicted the devil is sitting there cooking. Meeting him at his point of need. You have something that you need and I have it. And then when it says when the devil went, the angels came and attended him and strengthened him for the journey. Angels come to communicate God's message. Remember the angels came, Mary, you are going to have a child. You are going to name him Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Angels have messages. And in Daniel chapter 10, it talks about Daniel praying and the angels were coming with the messenger. Angels were coming with the message of God. And it says they were ambushed nearly by the prince of Persia, a demon. And his hordes trying to intersect the message of God getting to the people. But Daniel kept praying. And as he kept praying, Michael the archangel, who already had kicked the devil out of heaven, came with his angels. And then Gabriel was able to break through and announce the good news that the Christ was coming. They protect God's people. They execute God's judgment. An angel came one time. See the harp deal. Angels are mighty warriors. It came one time, there was an army coming against Israel. And one angel came, wiped out 180,000. No fluffy harp. Powerful warriors that are on our side. They bring messages. Getting ahead of myself. And this is what the Bible says. I'm convinced of this, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. In Romans 8:38, Listen to what it says. I'm convinced of that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Listen to what the Bible says. Never be in fear. Don't leave here fearful of the devil is there, demons are there. The Bible says that when you're a Christian, God comes and lives in you. And this is what it says. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. It says that his love comes and love casts out all fear. That you never have to fear. If you have fear, you know what Jesus done when the enemy came against him? He quoted the scriptures. Go to Psalm 91. Go to Psalm 18. Go and find the scriptures that combats what you are trying to be allured away with, beaten down with. The scriptures are powerful. I'm trying to find my last page. Some people say that there's a demon for everything. There's a demon for bad manners, for headaches, for procrastination, for pride, for self-righteousness, greed, gossip, shyness. It's nearly just a spirit of this and a spirit for that and a spirit for everything. And all of the things that people call spirits and demons for this, the Bible teaches us that that's their sinful nature. And some people are trying to cast out themselves. Some people are trying to cast out their bad manners, but they're still there. Because the Bible says you don't cast out the flesh, you put the flesh to death. It says you nail it to the cross, it's already been nailed. And you exact that judgment on their bad behavior. Because human behavior, James says that it's not demons that's pulling you away, it's your own nature. You know that nature that's resistant to the things of God? God wants you to go that way, but our own nature goes, I'm on my throne. I am in control of my own life. Human nature is incredible. I watched two women do the night at dinner. Becky had done really well in her exams, and we went out for a Chinese meal. We're sitting there having a meal, two women, 40 years of age each, about. I knew they were professional women from the way they were talking about, so they worked in a professional situation. When we got there, there was a bottle of wine just about emptied. We were well talking and we could hear what they were saying and stuff. And so next minute, another bottle of wine comes out and he fills up the glasses. So they're going on with, one of the women gets up to go to the bathroom. You know what the other woman done? Took her glass of wine and poured it into hers and put it back. I'm like, you dirty dog. That is disgraceful. So anyway, she drinks now the nearly full glass of wine she had. Well, half it was your woman's, but she was still in the toilet. She drank that back, right? The waiter comes over, fills up the glasses again. She starts drinking the woman's again. When the woman comes back, she only had that much, and she still had a full glass. Oh, they're loving to have me camera out. I'm telling you, that would have been on YouTube. I know what I thought to myself. That's that nature that's in us. Greedy, 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 sinful nature. All you want... I want. I'm going to take it on my friend who probably paid the bill. And what was funny about it, when the other one got up to go to the bathroom, I'm like, if she now starts doing that, I'm just going to tell everybody. When the original girl came back in the toilet, I wanted to say, don't trust her, missus. She's out there rubbing your wine. But that's the sinful nature at its best. Doesn't care about anyone else really, just themselves. But if you need strength this morning, if you need God, if you've been harassed, if you've been like, no, I'm skeptical about, oh, that's all right, but what I'm telling you is to read the Bible. Don't go to the Paranormal Channel or Buffy the Vampire Slayer or X-Files or Psychics Anonymous. Don't go to them to find out. Because they're deceived. They're the ones that are lured away. The Bible says don't go near psychics because the Bible says they're influenced by demons. It's your choice whether you do it or not. But I don't want anything that comes from the kingdom of darkness. Because all I know what comes with it is steal, killing and destroying. And if you have gone near it, this morning say, God, I'm sorry, I repent, I turn away from that stuff. Release me from any influence of it, any lingering thoughts of it, any lingering things that I agreed with in my life to it. I rid myself of it in Jesus' name. If you feel that, see, there's natural and there's supernatural. There's natural pressures. Do you ever get to the place where you go, this is not natural? This cannot happen at this rate, at this intensity, and for this amount of time. That's like supernatural. Today, resist. Draw near to God. That's what the Bible says. And resist. And now, draw near, you can resist. Get a word. Find what God says in the Bible about your situation. Find what God says. Come against that with His word. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Don't wait for me to tell you on a Sunday. Find it for yourself. If I tell you anything, I'll tell you, I will show you in this book. Because it's not about man's ideas or man's notions. It's about what God has already said. Let the worship team come back, please. Here's where I wanted to finish. It says in Revelations. I feel like T.D. Jakes here some Sundays. I'll be bringing a towel in to wipe me brow. Maybe that's because I'm really anointed now. Only really anointed ones sweat. That's what Jimmy. But it says in Isaiah, the Lord opened His eyes. He looked into the heavenly realms. And this is what I want us to see. I ask God for this. Lord, can I see the throne room? Can I just see them angels worshiping You, Lord? If it's Sunday morning, you'll notice me. I always look around. I know what I think. Angels were joining in with you. Angels, you know what? Earth is going to be heard worshiping the throne. The liberty, the tribe of liberty is going to be heard in heaven's throne. Angels, move over because we're coming through. And we're not just worshiping because we have no choice. Or we're not just worshiping because we're created to worship. We're worshiping because we want to worship. We're worshiping because we say, Lord, You're worthy. We're worshiping because we're saying, Lord, You deserve all praise and honor and glory. We're worshiping You, Lord, because You are holy. Listen to what it says in Revelations and in Isaiah. It says that there's these three angels going around the throne with six wings and loads of eyes all over them. And they're saying for eons and eons, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Revelation says, He who was and is to come. You are worthy. I want us to stand and worship God. And I want us to be heard in heaven again this morning. And whatever you land on, know what, Lord? I'm the most human person in this room. Can I know what it is to be awakened spiritually afresh? I don't want to stay in the land or the group of skepticism while taking a battering. Will you open my eyes, Lord? Help me to be someone that knows how to move in the Spirit of God. Help me to be someone that knows when to say, this is kingdom of light, this is kingdom of darkness, and this is just natural. Give me a balance, Lord. Lord, open my eyes to any alluring away. My friend said this before to me. I'll say this to all of our young people. I have three daughters that are unattached, I hope. And many daughters are not mine in the house. But my friend said this to me, especially new believers. He said, no, watch the way the enemy comes in at these people. He'll bring a boy into your life. He'll lure you away. I've seen so many of our young people over the years in the Church of Jesus in this nation being lured away into relationships that have nothing, served them no good. And get them a lot more baggage. I've seen young men and women being enticed with great jobs. And are no longer walking with God. Keep your money, keep your job, give me Jesus. I've seen great offers, believe me. And all I've seen is being an alluring away. And the Bible says this about, here's what you do about anything. You test it. You test it. It's not rocket science. You test it. Does it join up with this? Because God's already told us. Does this join up with what? Have I got an amen with people that I trust? I've said to Peter and Rob, I've said to my friends, that if I bring something, there's no amen in you, I'll hold back. I don't need to be a head case and run through walls. But if someone says, people that are close, people that know my heart, people that are with me, they say, no, no amen for that. I tell you, back away. Pray. If it's God, he'll show them. Whatever. If you feel like you're lured away, you know what it is? The enemy doesn't want you to be... If you're backsliding, come back. Get away from where you're at right now and get on your knees before God. If that means backsliding is you're moving away from God, you're moving away from the things of God, it doesn't mean you're murdering, killing, stealing everybody. But you know in your heart is close. Because I want to tell you, God is merciful, but the devil ain't. The devil doesn't say, oh, he's had enough. He hates the work of God in you. And we've not to be afraid. We have to worship God, fix our eyes upon Jesus, know who we are in Christ, know the authority, know that there's more on their side than on their side, to know these things.